Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Hey, I forgot, and it's sick. Doug, it's Ween Wednesday. I forgot, and it's sick.
Yeah.
Breaking news, I just saw Daryl Duran at Mike Bush's Hot Dog Zone. Thanks, Fancy Todd.
Is that still open? That's not still open, is it?
Daryl Duran?
No, Mike Bush's hot dog stand. That was out on Manchester. Like,
I think it was Mike Bush's hot dog zone.
I don't remember the zone.
Were they good dogs? Were they good dogs?
Yeah, you were there?
I never ate there.
Was it, because you're non-compete?
Works at a different station, yeah.
We had an electric hot dog across from Ted Drew's in South City. It was a big deal.
Electric hot dog? It doesn't sound that good.
That was the name of it, baby. They had good fries.
Okay, did they?
Like an 80? Was that 88?
I don't have any idea what year it was.
You ever treat yourself, put a little mustard and sauerkraut on a hot dog and live a little?
No. I go mustard.
I don't eat hot dogs unless I can avoid it.
Good for you.
They're not.
Does that
good
mean
for
unless
you?
Unless I could
if,
avoid it?
If
like,
I can't avoid
like
it,
a,
I don't.
Like there's
eat
a biker
it.
Gang that's going to shove a hot
you know,
dog.
I have
down
to. I have to tell you, I understand the statement because if I'm starving and at Busch Stadium, that's about the only way. Yeah. That I'm going to have a hot diggity. Do you like hot diggity, by the way?
No, I would never order.
Could you pull up the hot diggity dog song?
Can I give you a pro tip?
I think Ween did a cover.
Can I give you a pro tip?
Yeah, sure.
The best hot dogs at Busch Stadium are the ones downstairs in the media room. Yeah, they're like the highest quality and the better flavor. The ones upstairs.
Yeah, they're organic.
The little ones been sitting in that tin for, you know, a decade.
Yep.
Their hot dogs are made out of like lips and sphincters. I'm not gonna eat it unless I'm just absolutely famished. That's the only way.
Splurge sometime and get a Hebrew National. They're very good hot dogs.
I don't want it.
Yeah, our people would never use lips or sphincters.
Yes,
they wouldn't. No.
Yes, that's what they're made of.
No, our people, it's all kosher.
Okay.
Much better for you.
Sure it is.
And much more affordable.
Right.
Just because some guy says it is.
Right.
A man of God says it, sir. Yeah. And okay. I'm not going to sit here and let you blaspheme.
A man of the cloth says these hot dogs are better for you now just because I say so.
Oh, blaspheme.
Yeah, that's a little offensive.
I pray for you. Right. Hey, there's that guy again, Tim. Look.
The old man?
Yeah.
I feel like we need to have him in. I think he wants to come in for Foot Fetish Friday.
I mean, he
walks by with
I kind of want to have him in.
He looks a
can
little
we
like
have
Freddy
him in?
Kruger.
Can somebody go get him? I know the sea monster's like over in another part of the building.
The problem is I think he has his dog.
This is a high risk play, Doug, but you know what I describe it as? A high ceiling play. Yeah. It's also a low ceiling play. Play.
It looks like a guy in maybe his 70s walking little Yorkie.
But this isn't really a place that you would walk. I mean, it's soon to be the patio of Kirkwood Brewhouse. We'll soon have the studios right on the veranda. You like that? Right on the veranda?
I don't know that it's a veranda.
The cat's talking with Mike. Does he have a Joy FM shirt on? That might not make it a good match.
Doug, turn around and wave to that gentleman. That's a great moment.
That was a great moment right there.
Radio, so it's a shame.
Yep. But it was I think we're on MSNBC.
Even the dog was kind of
I like his dog.
With interest.
Did he say no? Didn't want to come in?
Yeah, disappointing because he did not care to come in at all and did have.
Well, I figured he was a listener.
No, not a listener. Didn't know who we are, and I saw him grasping at straws, trying to make some connection. I said, "You watch that four news?" And he said, "Well, Mike Bush." And I go, "No, that's the five.
Oh, the hot dog zone." He was listening. Bush.
And I said, "How about Doug Vaughn?" He goes, "I think so." So I had Doug turn around and wave, and I could see there was kismet.
Mm-hmm. Doug Ryan Kelly's been on hold for this whole thing, and I apologize.
Sorry,
Ryan, this is just
another example of me
with terrible phone management.
Sorry, Ryan.
I'm just sitting here thinking about hot dogs.
You eat a lot of hot dogs? You don't eat a lot of
I can't
dogs.
Imagine you eat a lot of hot dogs.
You know, I'm a sucker for hot dogs, but even more so for brats. I'm a big brat guy.
Yeah. Doug, what do you put on bratwurst?
Just a little dab of ketchup.
I go mustard.
Put ketchup on a brat.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I put on
mustard.
There.
You commie.
No, I don't want mustard on there. I don't want mustard on anything, really.
What do you put on there, Ryan?
mustard and sauerkraut all day. Bush Stadium.
Because Ryan Kelly's a great American.
Yeah, he kind of is a patriot.
You're a great
Doug.
American. Doug hates America.
Sauerkraut will never pass these lips.
If I put mustard on a bratwurst, I would feel un-American. 100%.
Nice. Yeah. Well, sorry. But I'm not eating
Doug
sauerkraut.
Doug's a great American. Everybody knows I'm the biggest fan he's got. So I guess I shouldn't have said that. I retract that statement. I guess good people also put ketchup on bratwurst.
Absolutely.
No, they don't.
Yeah,
no,
most people would.
They're evil.
Sure they would. That's what, that'd be the most common thing to put on there.
No, it is not the most common.
Yes, it is.
Tim, when your boy gets a little bit older, you're going to find out things that he will eat, and you're going to want him to eat, and he's going to, you know, not want whatever you make all the time.
All right.
Rolls. So I have a go-to. Every time I just really, I'm like, Jack, you haven't eaten anything, you know, healthy or haven't eaten anything of substance for a while. I run on Home Depot in Hanley, and he tears those hot dogs.
Really? Dirty dogs, I think.
Yeah, dirty dogs. They got that cart over there in the exit. You know,
isn't Jack your nine-month-old?
No. He's not eating hot dogs yet. He's still...
Right, so I thought you said I take Jack over to Home Depot, and I'm going, my God, this moves quickly.
No, it's great. I go over there, I get some light bulbs, batteries, and whatever else I need.
And some hot diggities, Doug.
He comes out with a jumbo hot dog, full appetite, and then I throw him into a baseball game. He's been fed. He's ready to roll.
Man, that's the move.
Yeah. Hey, I had a pleasure doing something really cool yesterday with one of the fellow fan pinners. Do you remember the event that you put together, Tim, with Joe Buck down at your place?
Yeah, the improv West shop. End?
Yeah, what a fuck! I'm sorry, what a great event.
Wow.
I think we need to jump out of that.
It was awesome. It was really cool.
Happens to the best of them.
Holy brat.
No, I'm just pretending you guys aren't talking, and I've never said that. you got a really loyal listener. His name's James Carlton, and he approached me at that event, and he asked me to kind of do something for him. He's a State Farm guy. He's a really good State Farm guy, really big, and every year – but the top 20 State Farm people have their own convention, not to be confused with the big State Farm convention where there's thousands of people. But they have their own little deal. And they pick a city to go to, Vegas, whatever. This week it was in Nashville. So he's like, hey, will you come down and talk? Will you come down and speak? And I'm like, I really don't know if that's what you want me to do, but sure. And so I agreed to it right there at your brother's place. And he held me to it. And yesterday I had that honor to go down there to Nashville. And I'm talking to these guys a little bit about, you know, what sacrifices it takes and how hard it is to build a brand and, you know, knocking on doors, the early days of the Home Loan Expert. It's just really cool to get in that type of atmosphere and do something like that. So big shout out to James for putting all that together.
Tip of the cap.
That was in Nashville. Yeah, it's a fan pin deal right there, right?
Doug, the power of the fan pin.
I don't know how much power really there is in a fan
pin. Ask Dustin Johnson and Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah.
Ask Dexter Fowler.
Wayne Gretzky is definitely a follower. I think I see him post every once in a while.
Yes, he does.
He doesn't.
Yes, he does. He posts his Injun Joe's Cave Ride Magic Pants.
He doesn't.
When Larry says Injun Joe, oh, thank you, Injun Joe.
I clip that off.
Gotta be one of my favorite parts of his life. Anyhow, Nashville was good. I was down there yesterday. It was a big day for us. We did a lot with the Titans. We did the State Farm deal. Did some stuff with Clay right before he jumped on live TV last night on Fox. Got home late last night, back at it this morning. I'm in the office, and I will leave it with this. Mortgage rates have dropped again today. You know, there's just no way to believe that that's possible, but it is. Maybe you still have one of those mortgage rates in the fours, like dinosaur interest rates, the old school ones. Give me a call today, man. 5 minutes on the phone with me. Let's see if I can drop that payment down $300-$400 a month. Imagine what you can do with that extra $300-$400 a month. You buy a lot of bratwurst. Buy a lot of hot dogs. You put ketchup, whatever you want on them. There it is. I'm Ryan Kelly, the Home Loan Expert, 314-781-9700. That's 781-9700. Always online at thehomeloanexpert.com. Guys, I really appreciate letting me jump on. We'll talk to you real soon, boys. Thanks.
Thank you, Ryan. There he is, Ryan Kelly. I know he has to get to something, so I will handle this on my own. But we are going to be doing an event, Ryan and myself and Clay Travis, here. And by here, I mean at Kirkwood Brewhouse. On October 6th, Clay is going to be in town, and I talked with my business partner, Kirkwood Brewhouse, Steve Stoles, and said, hey, can we have the entire patio for this Friday afternoon? He said, yeah. So I let Mike Watry, the general manager, know that was what we were going to do. And so that'll be Friday, October 6th. Clay Travis, Ryan Kelly, myself here, just kind of having a happy hour, talking it over, seeing what the word is. You know, hey, what's the word? And that's the same day as day one of the Ride Her Cup. So you have the golf tournament, the KFNS golf tournament at Aberdeen the day before. Okay, Doug?
Okay, trying to follow, yeah.
That's on October 5th. Then on October 6th, you have the Ride Her Cup. Iggy, who are the four captains? It was Tom Watson, Ray Floyd.
I believe it's Jay. Are you a captain?
Of course I am.
Yeah, I thought so.
I'm a captain of industry.
I didn't know because of the baby if you bowed out as the captaincy, but it's you,
it's not
Jay,
that much responsibility, to be
you,
honest.
You, Jay.
to play at Normandy for 4 hours.
PGA Pro Dan and Matthew Ehrenreich.
Matthew Ehrenreich's a captain?
Yeah, it was Cletus, I think, is out of town.
That's how he lost his captaincy.
He lost his captaincy.
Cletus
who
got a
cares
home
who's the captain?
Well, because we're having
a lot of work.
This guy's just going to play golf?
We're having a draft. Okay. And then the captain has to make picks.
All right.
And each group will have an honorary celebrity, I think it is, correct? I think Larry
really?
And Mike Lee are going to be involved in that.
Well, I need to probably have a private conversation with Jay about situations then.
Yeah, I don't know who your captain is. I think your captain is Plowsy.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, we got Larry.
I think.
Or maybe Mike Lee. We have one of the two.
It's me, Mike Lee.
I feel like certain captains can add strokes to a round.
I think so, yes.
Well, Big Al's one as well, I think, so that'll definitely
add strokes to a round.
So there's a qualifier coming up at some point.
Doug, you want to play in the qualifier?
To qualify to get in this Shishawali golf tournament?
If you played in the fan...
You say that again about the Ryder Cup, you're going to be dealing with the defamation suit, sir.
All right. If you played in the fan pin, TMA fan pin tournament...
I was eliminated in the first round.
Yeah, but it was a good match.
Oh, stop. Give him the gong.
Boy, you didn't have it coming, Tim. You should have won. Some sort of weather condition. Very odd that
was
for that day.
That was, you know what? That was an uncalled-for lemming. Like, you didn't need to be a lemming there.
I caddied for Jay, and I felt torn.
Natalie Imbruglia. Was that 1995 or 96? Beautiful Australian or New Zealander? Australian.
Ernie Broglio? I think he was an American guy.
Go ahead, Iggy. I'm sorry.
But anyway, everybody in the fan, if you play in the fan pin tournament and you want to play in the Ryder Cup, you're qualified. But there's like eight openings, and they're having a qualifier at the Rock.
And where's the qualifier?
At the Rock.
At the Rock, okay.
To fill those eight spots, so.
And then of that pool of players, the four captains draft.
We start drafting, yes.
Now, Jay texted me that I could have two players, anybody in the world, on my team. Now, but it's handicap. So, like, if I had, you know, Tiger and...
They'll come in for this.
Gary
sure.
Player.
Yeah.
They're probably... going to be giving strokes to, say, Matthew Ehrenreich.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, Gary Player's probably playing to a four now, four or five, probably.
Yeah, aren't you guys giving a little too much thought? Tim, when I had a kid, I didn't know if you would be able to handle the responsibilities of your captaincy.
Jay put this together. I don't.
Golf's playing golf.
Telling what Jay said. I don't even know how it works. I'm on a PGA Pro dance team, and I don't even know how it works. Who's
sure
playing
gonna,
who?
Oh, you're already on a team. Well, who's on my team?
You had somebody draft. Added already.
Who?
I don't know.
Doug, what kind of...
sounds like a Shishawali event to me.
Tim, you're gonna have to put a handbook together, the McKernan way, so all your players understand the way like you do things.
It's like a co-captain. So I'm on PGA Pro Dan's team. I think Shaq Lady is on Ehrenreich's team. I don't know who's on your team. But then you have your co-captain. When you draft, you kind of put a little thing together. And,
Doug, you want to be my co-captain?
I'm sure I'm busy that day.
I'm sure Jay's already put somebody with you. I don't know who.
But you don't know who it is.
I don't know. He put
I thought you said the Plowhawk was with me.
Well, he's your honorary captain.
I
don't know what's going on. We're just adding people to all these teams already. And
Tim, I'm there to get you waters. I'll be in the far cart, you know. When you see the smoke signal, don't call anybody. We're good.
Because I don't know.
Kind of thing.
Jay played in our group when I played PGA Pro Dan. Jay's match was in our group. And after I beat PGA Pro Dan, he goes, I'll tell you right now, you're my first pick. And Jay goes, he's already on your team. What the hell? We didn't even have a draft yet.
Wow.
Shishawali.
So I don't know what's going on. I don't even know who's playing. It's like day one is this and day two is we're done.
Well, I played golf with Wellington on Friday and I said, hey, I think I can pick you in the Ryder Cup. But like Wellington's a plus two now or something.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like there's a lot of rules, Tim. So just put them
yeah,
on your team.
Might as well.
And just know that
Wellington, Jay Williamson.
Plowsy will be there with a little purse full of trail mix to come and robin feed you in between holes.
Doug, Big Al is on the line, and he's upset about this.
Oh, hello, Al.
Morning.
Hey.
Hey, you know the guy at the when they're picking teams and the little guy at the last is sitting there waiting to be picked? Well, that's me.
Oh.
Because I shot a 92 yesterday at Normandy. So
not horrible.
If you want to misjudge me and not pick me, go ahead, because I'll be the ringer, because Jay gave me a new driver to use. And I tell you what, guys, this thing was unbelievable. So I'm ready to go. A 92. That ain't bad, boys. And I only took one mulligan.
You hitting a 160 now with the new driver? Because you were hitting your other driver 150.
I blasted it way past that. I was hitting it like 171.
Did you?
Yep.
It's very specific for a 170-yard drive.
So,
Big Al, what's your handicap, baby? What's your handicap?
I don't know. I don't
perfect.
Keep score like
perfect.
That.
That's,
I
going to be another problem
whenever
with the
event. Score is. I don't know the handicap system.
Well, you can get a gin number and enter that, and it calculates it for you.
Okay. Well, I'll let you know what it is when I get there. Hey, Doug, you working tonight?
Yeah, I'm working. Not late.
All right, I know Kat is. How you doing, Kat?
I'm doing well.
He's working
Al.
The dais now, Doug.
And by the way, Big Al, you're going to be a captain. Apparently, this is a tournament where everyone's a captain or a co-captain.
Honorary or
awesome.
Just regular?
Awesome. Hey, Timmy, I know it's probably too early for you to go out, but I got a suite tonight for Stevie Nicks, if you and the wife.
Stevie Nicks? Stevie Nicks is just doing a solo tour?
Yeah, she's at Family Arena tonight.
Oh, boy. I
already hooked Biggie up.
I hate to hear that. It's kind of like I saw Catherine. Was it Catherine Heigl? Was that the actress's
Catherine
name?
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
No. She was in Entrapment, married to
Catherine
Kirk
McPhee.
Douglas?
Michael Douglas.
Michael Douglas. Not Kirk Douglas. Kirk's 100 years old.
Right.
Yeah, Heigl was really looking weird.
If you and Mama could get a sitter, you hit me up on this.
Yeah, we haven't done that yet, but we were talking last night, and I said, hey, why don't we do that maybe this weekend? Because my parents or her parents, I'm sure, would love to come over and hang out with a young tyke. But not tonight for a trip to St. Charles, unfortunately.
Well, if all else fails, you can call me. I'll take care of him.
Keep that in mind.
So you're not going to go to the concert. You're going to take care of the kids so Tim can go.
Well, I would do that. Absolutely, I would.
Having the time of his life.
But
So Stevie Nicks is just playing the Family Arena by herself?
Yeah 24-karat gold. 24-karat gold tour. She was doing this with the Pretenders.
And what happened to Chrissy Hynde, baby? What happened to Chrissy
Hynde? There's only certain events the Pretenders are coming, and this isn't one of them.
They didn't feel like St. Chuck was going to be.
We've got whoever this chick is opening, and then 70-year-old Stevie Nicks.
Mm. Are you going to get in touch? You guys hung out at the Ritz in 1980.
I'm going to the show.
Are you?
Yeah, her assistant gave me 4 tickets, but she's not doing a meet and greet, so.
You think you have a chance to brush against her bosom like you did before?
It wasn't a brush.
I'll get you down there, Diggy. I'll get you down there. You know I got the hookup over there. My son runs the deal.
Yeah, I don't think he has contact with Stevie, but you do what you got to do, Al.
Yep. Hey, he was right-hand man for Slash when he came to the Dome.
Family Arena?
Slash's right-hand dude. Yep. They hired him, and he said, here. And he thought he was going to be with Axel, but he was with Slash. Walking him around. Couldn't take any pictures, though, but you know how that goes.
Lock him up.
But anyway,
so
I'm heading out to Normandy, and oh, hey, Plowsy, I shot you a text, so call me off air.
I'll give you a holler, buddy.
All right,
Doug, what's going on?
Why is he trying to score some weed there?
No, I'm bringing him to the concert if he wants to go, Doug, if he's not working.
Oh, okay.
I will call you, Big Al, around 10:30, 11 o'clock after I get done emailing CMZ.
Call back.
All right,
see you, boys.
All right.
There he is.
Don't you hate when people say, I texted you? Like, I got my phone. I saw it. Like, everyone knows when someone texts. You know, you're lying if you go, oh, I didn't see the text. You're lying. Like,
watch him now on the screen.
Doug, week one is in the books. That was actually what concluded week one. But it's not too late to get closer to the game you love with DraftKings 1 Week Fantasy Football this Sunday. DraftKings is hosting a $100,000 Pick'em contest that's totally free to enter. Pick'em is the newest way to play one-week fantasy football. Drafting your team is faster than ever. DraftKings has organized players into 8 tiers. All you have to do is select one player from each tier. Choose between public contests with big cash prizes or private contests where you can compete against a group of your friends. DraftKings also has beginner and casual contests where you'll play against people of similar skill level. The best part is, you get to draft a new team each week without any commitment. So get to DraftKings.com now and use promo code QUARTERBACK to play in DraftKings free contest with $100,000 in total prizes this Sunday. That's promo code QUARTERBACK to compete for your share of $100,000 in total prizes. The contest is totally free to enter. Why wouldn't you try? DraftKings, the game inside the game. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. What?
Ooh.
In the bot. Mm. We have Rick Hummel coming up at 8:30.
Well, okay.
Yeah. He's going to talk it over.
All right.
He's on the line right now, as a matter of fact.
Is he?
Doug. Yep, there
okay.
he is. Good morning, Commission.
Talk it over.
How are you, sir?
I barely hear him.
You pot him up?
Pot him up, Plowsy. Pot him up, Plowsy.
Durst?
Rick, are you there?
Yes, sir. Yes,
oh, there
sir.
He is.
Hey, Doug.
Okay, hey, we hear you. No, it's fine. Sure.
Commish, the Cardinals find themselves in the midst of the National League Central race and the wild card race. If you had to pick, which one is more likely for the Cardinals to get?
Well, in the math, they're only two games off the pace in the division, and they play the Cubs seven times. Colorado's 3.5 ahead, and they don't play them. So the math says that the division is more likely.
Doug, there you go.
You think they can catch the Cubs? I don't think the Cubs are anything special this year. We keep waiting for them to put together some big run. I don't think they have it in them.
If they were special, they'd be way ahead by now. They're a good team, and they're starting to pitch better. They haven't scored many runs, though. They have these bursts where they get 16, 17 runs a couple times, and they had a bunch of runs last night. But their offense hasn't been nearly as good as they thought it was going to be. And, they're seven games. If you win four of those, let's say, you picked up one game on them. If you win five, you picked up three games on them.
You know what I'm intrigued by? Adam Wainwright threw a bullpen yesterday, 24 pitches. He wants to come back. He is so far removed from starting a game. And right now the rotation is pitching really, really well. What do you think they will do with Wainwright? Is there a possibility he works out of the bullpen?
I think there's a probability he works out of the bullpen. Now, it might not be for another week yet. He's got to do some more. He's got to pitch, throw again tomorrow, and then maybe one more time after that. But I would think by next week he should be available for bullpen use. This depends on Flaherty a little bit, too. If he struggles, then you don't have any other starting options, really. So Wainwright would have to go back and do that. But there's a day off next Monday, so there's no great rush to put anybody in there after this start tomorrow night. Flaherty could go another week without pitching. But Wainwright's going to be in the bullpen unless Flaherty struggles.
And, you know, with the problems that the bullpen's had and Nicasio not being available for postseason, should the Cardinals be able to get in, perhaps with a much smaller workload in terms of, you know, having to go five, six, seven innings, maybe Wainwright can be more effective working out of the pen.
Well, he might be, Jim. Think back to 2 years ago when he had that Achilles injury and was out all season from April until right at the end. He pitched three games in relief the last week, and he pitched three of the four games in the playoffs against the Cubs in relief. So he's done this. And, of course, in 2006, he had a lot of relief outings.
Mm-hmm. How much do you think Wainwright has left in the tank in future years? Do you think he's got another two, three good years ahead?
Well, I'm sure he thinks he has at least 1 year, because that's the last year of his contract next year, and he wants to start. I think another off season of rest and exercise and so forth will strengthen his arm for next year. He may not have a whole lot left this year. If he can get you some outs, if he can get you two innings of outs in any particular game, that would be about the most they could expect, I think. But he can do that.
And Dexter Fowler, luckily the Cardinals have pretty good options in terms of guys playing well in the outfield. But he still has swelling inside his knee, so there is no timetable for his return. Do you think we're talking about something that will improve over the next couple of days or longer than that?
I think he won't play this series. They'd like to have him available for at least part of the Cubs series, and so would he. That's a big series for him to go back there and take them on. However, I don't see him starting much before, you know, Saturday maybe. Maybe not even then. They've got good coverage out there, and they'll surely get the last 2 weeks out of him. I don't know if he'll be anywhere near top form, but he's still a weapon.
Rick, we struggled with offense most of the year, wondering when all the hitters were going to come around, and now you look at the Cardinal lineup they're putting out there every night. They got 300 hitters and DeJong close to that. What do you think got everybody turned around? Is it just the law of averages caught up with them?
Well, Memphis turned him around, probably. Yeah, DeJong came up from May. What, he didn't figure to be here at all. So just about this time of the year when spring training started, he was a prospect, but he was not a 22 home run prospect. Pham started the season in Memphis, got a regular job in the summertime and has kept it. Martinez might be the most important link lately. He's gone into that fourth spot with Jurco and Fowler, who had been hitting fourth, both injured. and is taking charge, where when these guys come back, they're not going to be hitting fourth. Martinez is.
And you look at what Martinez has done. I mean, now for an extended period of time, and then defensively at first base, I put him up there with anyone they have. I think he's gotten that much better. Does that, do you think, change the way the Cardinals view first base moving beyond this year? Is there a possibility that they could say, we're going to give him a shot at first base and do something else with Matt Carpenter?
I think they have to think seriously about that. You're right, he has improved defensively. There was a wild play last night, but he did make the play finally. He got somebody out after he tumbled over the base runner diving back in. Carpenter has done okay at third. Now you've got kind of a triple-headed monster here. You've got Jerko, who could play third and did very well for most of the season. He could also play first a little bit too, but that's not important. He could. You got two third basemen and Carpenter and Jerko, and two first basemen and Martinez and Carpenter. So I don't know how that works out, except Martinez is on his club for next year.
Yeah, if they had the game on the line situation or the season on the line, I guess you'd want Martinez at the plate over just about anybody else in the lineup right now.
Well, Molina first, I think, the way he's going, but then Martinez right behind him.
If you look at the outfield, because obviously they have a lot of options with the outfield, and they're going to, you know, try to change around their roster and improve. And if you have outfielders that are your trade chips, Pham has had a great year, but, you know, he's had injuries. He's got the eye situation. Grichuk has had his ups and downs, but another 20 home run year. Piscotty's, you know, got the contract. He's obviously had a down year. Who has the most value? Bader has looked very good when he's got a chance to play. If you're looking to trade a guy of those guys, who do you think has the most value?
Well, Pham is the best player right now, but I wonder if teams are leery about his continuing eye issues. And he's had some injuries this year, nothing really bad, though. It was this eye thing that's been more of a problem than anything else. Even this year, that hasn't been a big problem. I think if I was another team, I would think Grichuk is the most attractive because he has a lot of tools. He doesn't hit for average, maybe never will, but he has power. He has speed. He's a good base runner, very good outfielder, strong arm, and he's hit 20 home runs 2 years in a row. As long as he doesn't have to be your focal point player, like here, he can bat eighth. If he has the kind of year that he's having now with 20 home runs and over 50 RBIs and batting eighth, I'd like to keep him. So if I was somebody else, I'd try to acquire him. Now, Piscotty is had the potential to be the best player of all of them, but he hasn't done that this year for a variety of reasons, and he'll probably be the most available. Now, whether teams want to take on that contract, which is not a bad contract when you look at 5 years of it or 6 years of it, but what kind of player is he? That's what you have to decide.
Rick, do you think the way they've played here the last month or so, and still might even win the division, has changed the mind of John Mozeliak and the front office people about making a major overhaul in the offseason? You think they'll still do that?
I don't think there'll be a major overhaul. They do have to get a closer, because Rosenthal is going to be out, if they even resign him. It's going to be out till August or late July anyway. So you got to have that. And whether that Nicasio or somebody, it's probably somebody else from another club. That's the big thing. If you can add one impact bat in your lineup, now granted the lineup has been really good lately, but you don't have that one thunderous guy in your lineup that maybe you'd like to have. Now, Stanton is that guy for Miami, and he's that guy for a lot of teams, but it's also $295 million worth of impact guy you need to take on if you go for him. But there's other guys out there. But the closer is the big thing. A bat would be second, and then you always want to have starting pitching, but they may have enough.
Rick Hummel with us here every Wednesday on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Joining us on the Appliance Discounter phone lines, the Hall of Famer. Joining us on 590 The Fan. Commish, appreciate the time, sir. Thanks so much.
You bet, guys. Thank you.
There he is.
Thanks, Rick.
Rick Hummel with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Cardinals and Reds tonight. And then I got the Cardinals and Reds tomorrow. And then I got the Cardinals and Cubs on Friday.
Well, you're not the only one who has it. That's the schedule.
I'm going to be in studio for the Cubs here.
But then you get to go to Cincinnati.
I don't recognize that city.
Oh, why?
Right. I'll be there, but I'm not going to recognize it.
I'll be there.
If you ever just say, where are you? I'm going to say, this is Tucson.
If you ever just not fly and take a boat up the rivers? Because the stadium's right there on the
Ohio
River.
Take the Mississippi to the Ohio?
Yeah.
Do they Confluence.
Don't they join down south, don't they?
Why don't we join south down south? Here.
Yeah, you could go south on the Mississippi
Jake
and then
Query
north
did one
on the Ohio.
He hit a yacht and a yacht captain. Who knew
there
how to get
there? There have been some great players that have come through this ballpark.
That's where you're heading.
And then it's Cincinnati and then Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh is right there on the river,
on the
too.
River as well.
So yeah, maybe
the Allegheny
makes all the sense in the world.
The Allegheny?
The Monongahela form the Ohio.
What they do in Pittsburgh on nice days, they line up the boats right outside the ballpark. It is pretty cool.
No.
People just park the boats.
Just like Macovey Cove.
Yeah. Except there's a, it's almost like parking. There's like, honestly, sometimes I've seen 30 boats stacked up in a row. People just drinking and eating and carrying on.
Nice. I would say do yourself a solid and get on a canoe and go south on the Mississippi. You won't even have to paddle.
So be like,
and then when you hit the Ohio, you hop on a John boat there, maybe a pontoon boat, do some fishing, whatever.
It'd be fun.
And go north on the Ohio
that
River.
Take me, what, 5 hours? Current, 5 hours or so?
And just pull up right there in Cincinnati.
That the current like, moves you north?
No, the current would be going south on the Ohio
swimming
River.
Swimming upstream.
So you'd be going upstream. That's why you're going to need something with an engine. Yeah. You don't even need an
and
engine.
What kind of lure should I use when I stop to fish?
Some tackle. I'd use some tackle. Maybe a spinner.
Doug, you can swim there. Bobby O'Neill knows the way. Fingers in the sky. Brown log flume. That's from Mitch yeah. T. Cumstein.
Be a nice little trip.
What, 5 hours? Wrap it up, you think?
I don't think. I think you might want to leave yourself a little bit more time than that.
Six.
That'd be a good time to leave. Hey, Doug, fun facts for No and Tell. With the Indians winning 20 in a row, did you know that no team that has ever won 20 games in a season has won the World Series since 1900.
Really? Not even the New York Giants won, huh? Well, they won 26 straight.
Is that the all-time record?
Mm-hmm. 1916 New York Giants won 26
I mean,
in
if
a
you
row.
Count spirit wins, the Cardinals have done it a couple times.
We don't. We don't count spirit wins.
Some do. Baseball Reference does.
It is pretty amazing.
The spirit wins.
Not the spirit wins. I was going a different direction. Oh. A month and a half ago, almost everybody wanted to blow this team up and just redo the whole thing. And now we're thinking, I don't know.
Here's the thing. They're on a roll. If you're being honest about it, they're not. No one's playing better than the Reds, the Pirates, and Padres.
The Indians are.
No, they're not. Watch the game.
And also look at the metrics. I mean, don't just look at a box score and think you know
20
everything.
In a row
look
they've
at the
won.
Metrics. Look at the metrics.
Yeah, but you're watching the wrong game.
Okay.
And some of the young players have really showed well, there's no question. But that doesn't, to me, mask some underlying needs that they will address. You know, Rick Hummel said they need a closer. That's definite. I honestly think they are going to go out and get a bat.
Well,
I don't think it's going to be standard.
Everybody does something
but
in the offseason. You would never expect an offseason to just
stand
pat
completely. But I'm saying I think the Cardinals know they need a middle-of-the-order type guy, a legitimate bat, and that's more than a little tinkering when you go out and acquire someone like that. Do we agree on that?
Well, yeah.
All right, then you can step down.
No, I'm not stepping anywhere because the prevailing thought was that you got to just almost start over here, except for you got some young pitchers. Other than that, you're going to blow this up. That's pretty much what everyone was thinking a month and a half, 2 months ago. And I don't think adding a bat and a reliever is blowing anything up.
Well, I never said they were going to blow it up, but that's
honestly, I don't think people were saying you got to blow it up.
Especially with
talking
the
about major changes.
Especially with major changes,
but I mean, the general manager and the president of baseball operations were talking about that. But I mean, as we discussed, unlike the Astros, for example, the example that's used often, I suppose, is the Cubs, of course, with what they were able to do and actually lead to a world championship because of the contracts the Cardinals had, and they were able to get rid of one, which was why I was so happy about the Mike Leake trade with Wainwright, Molina, and Fowler. You can't do a full blow-up, even if they wanted to. And Piscotty is probably one that, you know, isn't going to be going anywhere. I wonder how close that was in July, and I wonder if any of it had to do with what his family situation is, you know?
Well,
I mean,
I don't know.
It would be, you know, considering, you know, the Bay Area and him going to Oakland. It
would have been awfully nice to get Sonny Gray in that deal.
Wouldn't it have been? Holy
Yikes.
Moly. So, you know, the thing that's fascinating to me is what has happened. I can't recall this. I guess there has to be examples. But like I said, Buster Olney yesterday, he either tweeted or wrote a piece on how what the Dodgers have done is statistically the biggest collapse in baseball history, to go from being the best record winning percentage wise.
51 over 500.
Yeah.
51 games.
And now to be in the spot where they, up until last night, had lost, what, 12 in a row? Was it that was? 12 in a row? It's been a major
skid. I think maybe 11 and 16 out of 17.
Yeah. That's such a 0.1% outlier. And then people go, well, even if the Dodgers are falling apart, you still have the Nationals. And just for whatever reason, even though it's obviously different players, that organization just can't get past the LDS. I recognize the Cubs and the Red Sox have their curse, and of course they lasted much longer, like 10 times longer than the Nationals franchise even existed, but they've had some brutal experiences in the NLDS. 22 games over 500 is what the Nationals are, so it's not out of the question for them to catch the Dodgers for the best record in the National League, but really it's a two-team race, and you would think the Dodgers would wind up with the best record in the National League, but if they weren't, and if somehow the Cardinals actually are able to catch the Cubs two games back right now and playing them seven times over the next 2.5 weeks, the Cardinals would wind up once again facing... How many times has Clayton Kershaw walked off that Busch Stadium mound with his head down and
crest
the crowd
falling.
Going... I mean, my God. It's unbelievable. That's one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
I don't have anything against Clayton Kershaw. It seems like a completely, likable sort. But to have the best pitcher in the game in that situation, and it's been three times that I can think of at Busch Stadium. In 13, he pitched game two. It was a Saturday afternoon game, and I think that was the 1-0 game that Waka pitched. Missouri played that day, and they wore yellow jerseys against Florida, and they also wore the pink thing.
The Bumblebee. I didn't care for that.
And then game six, which they won with the Carpenter bat, and then the Matt Adams home run game the next year. So it theoretically could happen again, which is absolutely amazing. Because that team, you're talking about 2013 team, was a great baseball team. This team don't feel that way. But, hey, it would be super sweet if we get a windfall here. I thought that this was going to be one of the few years we've had since 2000 where it wasn't even going to be a sweat in September. And now you got a two-front sweat with both the wild card and the Central. But once you have the Central within your grasps, obviously that's where your focus turns, because then you're not just dealing with that one-game playoff and most likely facing Zach Greinke.
They got a huge lift from Luke Weaver that he could step in when Wainwright went down and be just as dominant as anybody they have. That was huge.
I thought it was absolutely over when Trevor Rosenthal was done, because I felt like Trevor Rosenthal was the turning point, him finding it and getting it right in late July. And when he was done, I'm like, okay, well, that's absolutely it. That's absolutely it. And it's not like there have been a bunch of, like, I feel like in the first few months of the season, there were a bunch of tight games where they needed saves, and obviously a lot of saves were blown. Because I don't really feel like, and maybe I'm wrong, I could just be wrong on this, I feel like they've been winning pretty comfortably where they haven't yet. I know they had to use Nicasio a couple times, but it hasn't necessarily popped up yet.
No, they blew that save in San Francisco when Lynn had the one hitter through
eight
innings.
San Diego or San Francisco?
San Francisco.
Watch this. If you're going, Scott McKenzie, okay. 1969.
It's got nothing to do with Lynn's gym, and he had to leave because of a blister, and they promptly blew it in the ninth. That one got away from him.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
No. Tim, do you remember the preseason over/under win total for the Cardinals? If I'm not mistaken, it was one of three, 83.5, 84, 84.5, in that range.
And I thought it would be more, of course.
You thought the win total would be higher, or you thought you?
I thought they would win. I thought they
we were
win
all
90,
on the over. I was on the lowest end of it. I thought it was right around the right number. I remember that. But the way that they've gotten there, barring a huge surprise, that they will cover that. You have what, 19 games, Doug? 18 games
18,
to get 8 wins or 9 wins. You'd like to think that's going to happen, especially considering who they're playing. Who could have ever possibly expected the Cardinals to be under 500 and then still get to 85 wins, which is what going 500 the rest of the way would. At this point, though, going 500 the rest of the way would be a big disappointment.
Yeah.
Because of who they're playing and because of the way they're playing.
I would think they'll sweep the Reds here. They got Weaver and Martinez still to pitch, right?
I'll be shipping action.
Maybe going to Chicago one game behind the Cubs.
You said something really interesting the other day. You said you thought this the 7 games left with the Cubs would be, I think the word you used, big.
Oh, yeah, I heard you say that.
Yeah, and I also said pivotal. I don't know if you guys understand what that means.
No, we didn't know. We heard big.
That means it could go either way.
I didn't know what it meant.
That's kind of what pivotal means. It can go this way. It can go that way. It means you're not really stationary. Mm. I'll try not to use those kind of terms because I know you don't like you don't know the game quite like I do.
Don't.
So I'll just keep it. Those will be big games.
Nice take.
If you can understand that much.
I just think of Schwarber and that ball that was sitting up there. I'm glad that the Cubs have been a mess also. Because, I mean, when they're right, they seem to be a scary team. They're not this year. I get that. But they do have some talent.
They've had guys like Addison Russell just fall apart. Yeah. He drove in like 95 runs last year, and he's done next to nothing this season. Ben Zobrist is another one who just hasn't come anywhere close to producing like he did last year. Chris Bryant hasn't had the type of year that he's had.
He went three-run Jackie Papers last night.
Well, I know he did. But he is not.
What do you think? It's a World Series hangover?
I picked him second overall in fantasy baseball, and he's been a disappointment. I mean, he's a good player, but he hasn't been the best player.
No, he's an MVP-type player every year. Mm. And
well,
not
this year.
He's not. Yeah.
I drafted Mike Evans sixth overall in fantasy football, and so far he's got no points.
Well, their game got rained out.
Still screwed me.
Yeah, well, you're supposed to hire some depth. Hire him. Did you pick any depth at all at the wide receiver position?
Sup, Amari. Oh, what's up, Tim?
How'd they do for you?
TD and a couple drops in the end zone, too.
Okay.
Doesn't matter.
That's fun when you have a fantasy team and your guy gets targeted in the end zone and drops it. That's
fun. It is
fun.
It is fun. Yeah. The thing, though, is for fantasy football is you're playing draft. Well, a lot of people are playing DraftKings, and you're more interested in that because that's short-term cash and larger cash. So you're conflicted. I don't like being conflicted. It's like... It benefited me, or would have benefited me, to have Todd Gurley and Cooper Kupp. He's a guy who plays for the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really want to be in a spot where I see them succeed, even though I have no ill will toward either one of those gentlemen. Cooper Kupp wasn't with the Rams when they were here, and Gurley went out of his way to be complimentary of St. Louis on the way out. Seemed like a likable sort.
Mm-hmm. I picked up Cooper Kupp, and he had a big game Sunday.
Oh, did you start him?
I didn't. I had him on the bench.
I like that.
But he's the guy they throw to a lot. I guess he's going to get a lot of targets. I call them targets. You guys probably don't understand that.
Again, I don't.
It's pajama day at Tyler's school.
Oh, look at that. What kind of pajamas are those? It says something. There's like a mess. Does it say there will be blood on those? Are those Daniel Day-Lewis pajamas?
It will be awesome.
Oh,
it'll be awesome.
Oh. Probably get sent home.
You get sent home if you walk in with it. There will be blood pajamas.
You want to try it again?
I'll be honest with you. We don't let him dress in violent garb. However, we're terrible parents, and he has assorted samurai swords, toys, and
that's
stuff.
That's fun.
And,
does he ever strike you with them? Does he ever strike you with them?
Yes.
You say yes, like you're resigned to the fact that you had it coming or something.
Because at my house, unlike... every other man who's really tough and is the king of his castle, I am not. What I want comes last.
Yeah.
Even if I'm well within my rights to say, hey, can we do this? I will not get it.
I can't even touch the thermostat in my cage.
Me neither. But at least you admit it.
Yeah.
I've got it set at 69.
You get to run the thermostat?
Well, I mean, the baby can't talk.
Baby can't talk.
Boy, I'm really looking forward to things changing for you. Suddenly, all the things that you thought you could count on in life and having your way will go by the wayside.
I used to have to try to set the thermostat at like 67 or so to cool the house. And since Design Air put in this new thing for me, we're like 71 or 2.
How nice is that?
And it's more comfortable now than it was.
The settings are so key.
Yeah.
And then Seth Goldkamp ain't going to mess around.
No.
So your temperature's perfect. You look out the window, not a carport to be seen. You must feel very good.
What are you trying to say?
I'm walking in tall cotton, fellas.
I got to tell you something. I don't know if it's okay if I say this, but I'm going to anyway because I'm a rebel.
You're a controversial host.
That's right. And that is that one of the carport houses is for sale. And I'm wondering if somebody's going to buy it or somebody's going to tear that down.
Yeah. Well, why don't
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that carport. That's what he said, 1988.
Tear down this wall. You could knock down the carport yourself. A couple of shots with a sledgehammer might knock down.
Yeah, that's true.
But you don't own a sledgehammer, do you?
I don't have to.
It's a CVC thing or DeBerg, probably.
I'm with you. I don't own a lawnmower either. I have a kid do it.
You don't own a lawnmower?
No. I have a neighborhood kid. It's good for the economy. It's good for the kid. I'm teaching him responsibility. He's got some spending money in
his
pocket.
How about your own kid? Is he? Why doesn't he cut it?
Because he's eight. I'm not going to have him do that.
Another year or two, he'll be out there cutting it.
Well, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Right now, I don't want him with a power tool of any sort.
Oh, well.
He's 8 years old.
They got to learn. He's got a sword.
He does have a sword.
I got that Kelly Kernan at Big Boy Lawns, shimming my shrubs.
Have you?
Oh, my word. Boy, do they do good work. They do good work. He's a good guy. He's a good guy.
Okay.
I kind of want you to use
him. All he's doing is cutting the grass.
Yeah, but he's a good fellow.
You don't go outside to talk
to him.
Yeah, I
do. I want something to drink. What's the word?
Oh, I thought you didn't even answer the door when someone knocked on the door. You just say no.
I don't, but I know when Kelly's coming by. You know how? Because I hear the lawnmowers. I hear them.
Okay.
You just brought
back. I hear whistles.
You just brought back a very bad memory. When I was a boy, I would take care of the lawn for this guy who had a huge piece of property. It was like different levels all the way down to the Hudson River, but it was acres. And I would be out there, be 95 degrees on mowing, and here comes the old guy with a Dixie cup full of water for me.
Oh, wow.
He would walk half a mile to get to where I was with literally 3 ounces of water to give me. And I thought to myself, you...
Doug, it's Big Boy Lawns, and you can find them on Facebook, Big Boy Lawns LLC, or 314-732-3513. You'll be happy you did.
My yard's not big enough. I'm sure he does great work, but my yard is simply not big enough to justify someone else coming to cut it.
Well, here,
with three boys there, surely someone can cut the darn
grass. But
they
never help, you say.
They fight it. Oh, they fight it.
Who fights it the hardest?
They
John
all
Vaughn.
Fight it.
What about
John
Greg Vaughn?
Probably fights it the hardest.
Good talk, son.
Get out there and cut the grass. Well, I can't really. I was going to go to the gym. You weren't. Cut the grass.
How do you know he wasn't going to go to the gym?
I don't think we have any gas. We've got it. We've got gas. Well, your car's in the way. I'll move the car.
I love it.
Cut the grass. We cut
it
last
week. I love
it. It's growing more. Cut
online, he calls himself Manbay 2004.
You got the bag attached to the mower, so it's really convenient?
Yes.
Yeah, good for you. You're doing quite well.
Take you 15 minutes to cut it. 20 tops. Get up. Cut the grass.
Doug, kids cut the grass, men mow the lawn. Thanks.
I don't know about that.
I just feel like I'm helping the economy. I'm teaching a young neighborhood kid responsibility and putting money in his pocket. And then he goes out and buys fidget spinners or whatever.
Right.
And then he helps the economy. So I feel not having a lawnmower makes me a great American.
I don't.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't. You could spend the money somewhere else, and that would help the economy just as much.
Disagree, because of the fidget spinner thing.
Right.
You may step down again.
I don't have
a lawnmower. I'm having my way with Doug today.
Talk about being un-American. I don't have a lawnmower.
Australop.
Listen.
That are being judged today at the show.
What?
That might be my Mount Rushmore of drops. It's tough to remember them all.
I just found it. That's why I had to play. I haven't. This is the first time I've found
it.
It's like 10,000 of them. I actually just found this. Like, I have not played that in 2 years.
This was a guy doing an interview and a bird landed on him or something?
Was it a bird? I thought it was like an emu. It might have been a bird.
I thought it was some big bird.
Black Australop cockerel. That are being judged today at the show.
Is that real? It doesn't sound real.
He handled it with a lot of calm and cool. Sure, he's proud of himself to play that tape back.
It sounded like Murray from Flight of the Conchords.
Doug, was that Murray or Jermaine? Right. Was it Murray or Jermaine?
I don't know.
You know what the best
was.
Part of that show was? The way they say yes. Yes.
That's right.
Yes. The best part.
I saw them perform. I did.
They're hilarious.
Flight of the Conchords, Doug.
Yes. Yeah.
Were they on HBO or Showtime?
I don't know. I didn't see it.
HBO.
I was probably cutting my grass.
Mowing
I have a
lawn.
Feeling I'm the only one at this station right now who owns a lawnmower.
Yes.
I own
yes,
a weed whacker.
Yes.
That doesn't count.
Iggy, I threw a favorite on your picture of you and Stevie Nicks, just so you know. He tweeted it out.
Oh, did you really?
Thank you.
I'll do that. I'll stop on by.
It's a terrible picture because I had to take the picture from Facebook and then put it on there.
You think she'll remember you?
I don't think I'm meeting her. She's, according to her assistant, she's not doing meet and greets.
But if you were going to meet her, you think she'd remember you?
I think so. If I brought up ties, she would.
Where is it?
Would you try again to brush against her bosom?
I didn't brush against it. She took my hand. That was 35 years ago.
I'm going to the cat's likes so you can find the damn thing.
She may not remember that.
But you don't follow me?
Well, there it is. But you posted it 8 minutes ago. It wasn't at the top of me page.
Oh, okay.
So he went to my likes and did a little detective work.
That's right.
Yeah, sometimes you get guilted into liking things. You do have to do that.
The Cat on Fox, you don't follow me.
Yeah, I do.
No, you don't. Doug, what happened? Now, you blocked the cat, or who blocked who?
I blocked him.
Yeah. You never blocked me. I'm not blocked. I'm just not followed. I don't really bring anything to the table anyway.
All right, I'm going to follow you. I'll fix that right now.
I don't tweet much anymore either.
You don't?
No.
Why did you decide not to tweet?
I don't know. Just lost interest in it.
I love communicating with people, but I hate the BS that you deal with. It's like it's not the juice is absolutely not even close to being worth the squeeze. You know what I mean? Like even just kind of like a benign thought on the Cardinals or Missouri or whatever leads to some just angry son of a bitch coming out of the wood, and you're going, God, why'd I even?
Ted Cruz is dealing with a lot of hate because he hit a like on some porn site. It was a foot fetish site, too.
I think so,
yeah.
I look like a cuckold.
Of course.
No, because...
A foot cuckold?
No, it looked like there was coitus happening, but then there was a naked gal behind a pillar. It was kind of like an open floor plan living room area.
and it looked like trendy.
She was more toward the kitchen, hiding behind the pillar, watching.
Hardwood
floors? Looking like she was enjoying herself.
Wait, yeah. What are those? Warshack? What are those? They give you shapes and you say what you see?
Yes. Is that,
I have a feeling that when he goes to his team of psychotherapists, Plowsy, they show him every picture. What do you see? A cuck situation.
This cuck situation actually might have been closer than what my other cuck situations have been. But yeah, I did like that, Doug.
As I'm scrolling through my timeline.
On Twitter?
On the Twitter tweets, I see that, right above the tweet from Teddy Amenabar. Doug, do you know him? He goes on Teddy Amen.
I don't know Teddy, no.
Says the North Korea nuclear tests may have been twice as strong as first thought. Above that, Carly Gray announcing that this is her third anniversary in adult. So congratulations to her.
Lasted longer than most of them.
Yeah.
We never had her on. I think she might be a delight. Lance Lynn was a delight after the game last night.
He doesn't like the call-ups that he has to pitch to. Calls them a pain in the...
Wouldn't you be happy to have them?
He says they're a pain in the butt. He doesn't know their names. Didn't seem to take any solace in the fact that he finally got some run support. He is a delight. Again, I look at Lance Lynn's post-game interviews as performance art. He's a wonderful guy.
All tongue-in-cheek.
How good was it just to see this team get the win?
Yeah, it was very good.
Very good. You know when I get killed on Twitter out of the blue?
For what?
If the Cardinals have a bad game, it's like, I'm going to get that haze. Like, it's like, what did I do? I didn't drop a ball.
Well, you said they were ready to soar.
Yeah, so like they lose, you haven't even tweeted anything, and you get somebody bitching at you.
Yeah. And then I get like in these threads where like someone says, you know, Lance Lynn is terrible. They shouldn't. And then there's a back and forth. And because I was initially in it, like there's 30 posts. So I just say, can you please take it outside?
I
hit it hard.
Like, who was that? Calumet interviewing Stingray?
Brandon Moss.
Now, here's my latest tweet. I think it's solid. I don't think I'll get abused. The Cardinals have won 10 of 12. I just feel like someone should do a poll on something. I love Twitter polls.
Now, is that a shot at Brendan Schaefer?
No. Although I do sometimes hold him accountable for doing too much.
Polls. I do like Twitter polls. I do like a good poll.
You do?
I think I do. I really do. I legitimately find them to be... I mean, you instantaneously get like a sample of like a couple thousand people.
Well, why don't you start a poll then?
Maybe I should do a Gallup poll. What would be a good Gallup poll? I'll do it.
What would be a good poll question about the Cardinals? And then you can get some feedback on what would be a good poll. And then do the follow-up poll. So it's really a two-pronged approach to polling.
Okay.
Gallup does it all the time.
Okay.
Nice.
This will be really interesting to see the results.
Okay.
Sometimes I see people go on Twitter and they go retweet for a chance to win a Cardinal rally towel. So then I will say retweet for a chance to win absolutely nothing.
Okay. Well,
I'm still trying to get Stool Fred on the program. It's this Barstool Chicago guy. Me and him.
You're still fighting with him.
We just do not like each other. And at least we've come to that conclusion. We have like this common ground. But I'm trying to get him on air to talk about the upcoming series. You should see his tweets. You just have to follow him to understand. He's very You know, the Cardinals came out with that video where they were dancing. It was to a provocative song about weed, and he said all the Cardinal players are smoking weed, and that's why they're winning, and it's just stupid crap
and
like that.
And you took offense to that.
That purposely annoys me, but he does it on he does it to get people riled up. And
why do people get so mad about a tweet? Because here's the thing. It's just a tweet. Like, if you tweet someone, someone's like, great point. No, it's just a tweet.
And if somebody famous tweets something controversial, it actually becomes news.
Oh, it's unreal. I hate it. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. I hate that. I truly do.
Yeah.
One of the things that I'm in, you know, the Sea Monster and I have been, and we finally can, start this podcast network. And one of the things, and I was discussing it on the Fan Pit last week, that I'm truly interested in doing, and it might take me to a dark place, but it might actually provide some good as opposed to what I've been doing with the last 15 years of my career, and that is monitoring media coverage of social media, because I feel like it has led to advancing false narratives that then lead to false truths, essentially the source of fake news, as it's kind of become like a joke. But I really feel like that's where, like right now, a big story is ESPN's handling of Jemele Hill's tweet regarding Donald Trump and calling him a white supremacist, and then comparing and contrasting it to how they've handled conservatives. And when they tweeted stuff out that were, I guess, Kurt Schilling is the comparison.
Well, there was a tennis commentator who said, boy, yeah, that was guerrilla tennis. And because Venus Williams was on the court, he got fired for that.
But I mean, that's not a conservative position. That's a you know, racial misstep. You know, I mean, it's different than, you know.
Yeah, who is the girl?
The president.
Clay Travis cited Linda Cohn being suspended.
Yeah. I get it. And the thing is, and I tip my cap to Clay. I mean, like I said, we'll be doing this thing out here on October 6th. It works. The whole thing of getting people going on that. It's like the reddest of meat right now in 2017, but I feel like it's manipulating things in order to get people more worked up about, you know, something that really isn't that big.
But there's
of a deal.
A whole game,
right?
Well, how come when this person who is on this side of the fence does this, then and that person gets a free pass? It goes on
right,
both sides,
right?
And to
right,
the point
I agree
now.
With that.
Where I don't even follow it anymore because it
right.
has worn
Which is why
me
I'm
out.
Saying it's like my biggest pet peeve. But then so that's why if I were to actually do a podcast on it, it would force me to therefore monitor something that I can't stand, but I feel like it could provide a service of sorts because it's so wrong, I think.
Yeah, but then you get down into the mud.
Right.
I
feel like then I'm providing some form of, I don't know, I mean, who knows what service it's really providing, but I suppose it makes people aware of what's going on because it's so obvious. It's so easy. It's so ABC. It's not like it'd have to feature some kind of Woodward and Bernstein investigation. It's just sitting there. Like I said, when people in news organizations and legitimately, you know, I mock you and say on both sides, but in this case, I totally agree with you. On both sides, you see them just picking something and then going, well, look at the negative feedback so-and-so got. And I go, oh, I wonder who said something. Well, it was somebody on Twitter. Who the F cares?
I honestly can't. And I'm generally an optimistic guy. Like, I'm not, the end of the world is coming. But I honestly sometimes read the back and forth that we see in this country now. And I think to myself, it doesn't matter. The world's going to explode soon anyway. I mean, I honestly think that sometimes. And I just have to step back from all that. And I used to be much more politically engaged, and it breaks my heart.
Yeah,
to see
I do
where
notice that about you. You're not as
because I see it on both sides, and I don't think it's advancing us as a country. I think it's destroying us as a country. You know, exchange of ideas is a great thing. I'm all for that, but you have to do it in a politically correct formula
right.
now, where it doesn't solve anything. So all you have is the crazies way to the right and the crazies way to the left doing war, and everyone in the middle is taking shrapnel. And
because,
I think a lot of people are like
the risk of having an honest discussion of either being labeled as a racist, which can destroy somebody's career.
Yep.
Whatever term you would want to use, therefore precludes the discussion from taking place.
So better to just back away from the table. Yeah. That's where
Which is why I'm saying if I were to do this, I know it's going to make me miserable, but I feel like it could produce good, even though it's probably not going to make me any money. But it's just become like a pet project in the sense that I see it going on and I hate it. And so essentially it'd almost be like a daily show, a serious version of, to observe it and just point it out. And it wouldn't be limited to, hey, look what Sean Hannity said today. It's across the board. It's across the board. And it just makes me nauseous. And at the same time, then if you're an organization, you know, what ESPN's dealing with right now is how do you, you know, initially they told their hosts, anchors, reporters, whomever, to not tweet about politics. Then they said, okay, you can. But of course, where is the line? That's when anything comes to a line that's subjective. And so now you got what they're dealing with, a perception that it's a left-wing network by some. And then you have Jemele Hill tweeting that the president's a white supremacist. And then what happens? People are pissed off that she didn't suffer the same fate as others who were labeled as conservative, I guess. Although I don't know if Steven Adler's labeled as a conservative. I don't know on that. Because I don't think he was necessarily taking a conservative talking point. I don't know. The point was not necessarily conservative versus liberal so much as inconsistency with the punishments, even though trying to draw similarities with the quote-unquote crimes. So, you know, and then Colin Kaepernick this morning tweets out like a fist in support of Jemele Hill, and it's just like, oh my God. And you're just like, oh, there's our topic for the day. And
no,
it's like,
oh, again.
Back away.
But here I
table.
Am talking about it, so I'm guilty as hell because I'm the one doing it.
Back away from the table. Because whatever discussion you get into isn't going to solve anything, and someone's going to try to slime you. So just hope the world doesn't explode.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to explode the world. I think North Korea might be more likely to explode the world than Americans bickering on Twitter. It does get, it gets nauseating, gets tiring at times, but ultimately I don't know that that's that big of a threat to divide people. Maybe it is. I don't see it that way.
A united country all gathered around at the foot of a beautiful hill, and I tweet a cardinal birthday.
Oh my God!
Everyone in unison favorites it. That's what I.
Can you imagine?
That's my vision for America. Everyone hand in hand favoriting a cardinal birthday tweet.
I think the crazies.
Maybe I'm wrong.
I think you're wrong. The crazies on both sides are still such a small minority. Most people aren't affected by any of this stuff. You see how
more
people pitched in with the hurricanes and everything. When it gets down to it, they're still Americans.
I'll say this again. I think one of the reasons I back away, like I tell myself over and over again, just because you disagree with someone, be it politically, socially, whatever, doesn't mean they're a bad person. I think we've gotten away from this. And I think, yeah, there's crazies on both sides, but I think more people have kind of fallen for whatever ideology that's being put out there, that instead of having a discussion and realizing, hey, that person across from me is a decent person, he just sees it differently, doesn't make him an awful human being. I think now, because of this politically active, you know, energized, you know, mosh pit we're in right now, we see more and more where if you disagree with someone, they must be awful human beings. And I think we have to check ourselves on that.
Yeah. Doug, watch this. Check yourself before you riggedy wreck yourself. I'm bad for your health. Ice Cube. Is that Ice Cube?
I don't know what the hell it was.
We're late for a break. We got a break. Send your emails in. Hot Shots email today, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.